Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. From Judges chapter 5 and verse 23. Curse ye Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof. Israel, God's chosen people, even with all the advantages given them, were, in the period of the judges, under consideration, they were alienated from God because they had forsaken the ways of the Lord. As was so often the case, God determined to chasten them because of their backsliding and bring them to repentance. Well, God still chastens those he loves. Hebrews 12 and verse 6, For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. While there are some that consider all chastening to reveal a lack of love, the discipline, rebuking, and training that one receives is because of love. Those left simply to go their own way and do their own thing are not loved as they should be. God often used the nations around Israel as instruments to chasten his own people. Even though these nations were certainly not righteous and they served heathen gods, they could be used by the Lord for benefit to his own people. In this circumstance of our lesson, God used Jabin, king of Canaan, and his army under the leadership of one named Sisera, the captain, to humble the digressive Israelites. The history of Israel during the period of the judges is not a glorious period for Israel at all. They would repeatedly fluctuate between serving God and serving idols that they had learned to follow from the nations round about them. Their loyalty to God was stained with periods of disloyalty. And while they were enjoying prosperity, they would turn from the true God of heaven, the source of their prosperity, and serve their selfish interest and turn to gods other than Jehovah. Then God would allow them to be humbled. And in their humble state, whether in bondage or under local captivity, they would repent and return to the Lord. At this repentance, God would raise up a deliverer, a judge, who would lead the people in their time of crisis and throw off the yoke and the burden imposed by the persecuting forces. And once the enemy was subdued, for a time Israel would again show loyalty to God, and God would allow them to prosper. But before long, the cycle of apostasy and prosperity would repeat itself. Now at this time, the leaders of the people were Deborah and Barak. Under their leadership, Israel went against Jabin, having repented of their backsliding. God gave them a great victory over Sisera and over the armies of Canaan. But there was a real problem concerning the people of a place called Meroz. They took no part in the conflict. Now they could have assisted. They should have assisted. They had the opportunity to assist. And they could have made significant contributions toward the welfare of the entire nation. But they chose to remain aloof from the struggle and refused even to help their own people. Now, the location of Meroz is not definitely known, although it is thought to have occupied a strategic location where they could have guarded a mountain pass, could have prevented the escape of the men of Canaan once they were being routed. They could have acted in a manner that would have had a lasting effect on the behalf of Israel, but they did nothing. The angel of the Lord said that they were to be cursed bitterly because of their failure. The last part of our text reads, Because they came not to the help of Jehovah, to the help of Jehovah against the mighty. By failing to help God's people against the enemies of God and his people, they were declared deserving of being cursed bitterly. Now let us see the situation clearly. Here was a struggle between truth and error. The true God versus false gods. Heathenism against the living God. God's people against the servants of the devil. God was on the side of Israel. Why should not Meroz also be there in the conflict? Friend, do we not learn from this? When we fail to lend assistance to the people of God, whose people we also profess to be, and there is this battle and the struggle of right against wrong, are we not guilty of the same failure as that which brought reproach against the Meraz? When the Lord appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus, he asked, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Acts 9, verse 24. Well, Saul was actually persecuting the church, binding men and women and putting them in prison, consenting unto their death because of their faith in Christ. But in so doing, Jesus said he was persecuting him. Surely, if persecuting the church is to persecute Christ, then to help the Lord's church is to render help to the Christ. It follows that withholding help from the Lord's church is to withhold help from the Lord himself. Now, we can easily see that this is true. Christians must constantly keep in mind the age-old struggle and battle that is in progress. It is a warfare between truth and error, righteousness against unrighteousness, good against evil, right versus wrong. It's the forces of Satan as they war against the forces of God. Each side is equipped with an arsenal of weapons with which to fight this spiritual warfare. Nobody can content himself or herself to attempt a neutral stance in this struggle. As Jesus said, we're either for him or we're against him. An attempt to assume a neutral position is to choose not to be for him. There is no middle ground, friend. This is the mistake that the inhabitants of Meraz made when the time for their assistance was presented. The nature of the gospel and the person of Jesus Christ necessitates a decision. It's inescapable. A decision not to help the Lord is a decision that deserves curses of damnation. Now, while there are some matters in life in which we can afford to be indifferent, and there may not be any serious consequences, this is not so regarding service to God and allegiance to Christ. It is a serious thing to oppose the people of God, as are involved in doing the Lord's will that they are doing. It is equally serious to fail to lend assistance when needed in carrying out the work for Christ. Whenever we are able to help, and we have opportunity to help, we have a corresponding obligation to help. And if we do not, in what way are we different from the people of Meraz of long ago that displeased God? Chapter 25 of Matthew pictures the judgment scene. Jesus said in verse 40, Inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of these my brethren, even the least, ye did it not unto me. Friend, this chapter is noteworthy not only because of the judgment scene and the separation of the sheep from the goats, but the reason given for the distinction between them. A close reading of verses 31 through 46 teaches that both were judged according to what they did or did not do, with respect to something that they ought to have done. The sins of adultery and stealing and lying and murder, they're not named against those that were banished into punishment. Condemnation of such things is taught elsewhere in the Scriptures. But those condemned were condemned because of what they did not do, because of their failure to lend assistance as they ought. It's like what James wrote in James 4 and verse 17. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We need to consider this principle when there is a gospel meeting, when there is a call for work, when the needy need help, when the bereaved are suffering, when the discouraged need uplifting, when the truth is under attack, whether from within or from without, or when the church is being degraded, when helping hands are wanted. We dare not think that we can behave as did those of Meraz and still be looked upon with favor by the Lord. They were cursed bitterly. Shall we receive a different recompense if we are guilty of the same transgression? Today, as the church is bashed from right and left by liberals and modernists, as the deity of Christ is under attack, as the Bible is set aside in favor of the so-called scholarship of self-appointed experts, we sometimes see and hear brethren that shy away from the fight. They may not join the forces of error directly, but they give Satan assistance by not coming to the side of faithful brethren who are contending for the faith. This, friend, is a serious breach on the part of many. Let it not be so insinuated among you. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.